Join me in Psalm 72, please. Psalm 72. Hear the inspired, the inerrant word of the living God. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal soul. May he judge your peoples with righteousness and your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people. Give deliverance to the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures and as long as the moon throughout all its generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. For he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually, and blessing invoked for him all the day. May there be an abundance of grain in the land, on the tops of the mountains that, may wave. May its fruit be like Lebanon, and may people blossom in the cities like grass of the field. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him, and all nations call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this holy word. There's a debate among scholars who actually wrote this psalm. It's kind of a friendly debate, and it's between King David and Solomon. Was it King David praying for Solomon as Solomon takes over the throne as David passes away? Or was it Solomon praying for himself as he became king? Regardless of the author, the point of the prayer is that this is a prayer that was offered for King Solomon. Most think at his coronation when he became king. This is not the first prayer or the only prayer for Solomon. We find in 1 Kings, Solomon again praying for himself. He said, "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give you.' And Solomon said, 'You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant and servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness and uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern your great people?'" Quite an ominous task that Solomon was taking on. And so he goes to the Lord, and we have two accounts of prayer here. Surely that's not all. And prayer is the staple of the Christian life. Just to think for just a moment, to be able to go to the Lord in prayer in any situation is good and pleasing to the Lord, but it's also very comforting to us. The prayer that David just offered from the heart, a great challenge, but yet brings comfort that we know that wherever we are and whatever challenge we face, God will be there to provide that strength. And haven't you been there? Haven't you been at that place like Solomon, facing a situation that you really don't understand how you're going to get through it? It's above your own energy, above your own abilities, facing that incredible challenge. As I said, I'm sure you've been there. I've been there. I remember one occasion getting a call to fly to Alabama because it needed to replace a friend of mine in the classroom who they thought had had a heart attack. Well, they faxed me the lesson plans that afternoon. I got on the plane the next morning and studied the material that I had never seen before as I was flying to Alabama. And before stepping in that classroom of 300-plus people, I stopped and prayed a very similar prayer that Solomon just prayed. I am but a child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. Quite literally, Lord, I do not know what I'm about to present to these people. God was graceful, and the next hour and a half or whatever passed, and I survived. And as I said, you've been there. And how peaceful and how comforting it is that you can just pause for a moment and say, Lord, you know what about I'm facing. You know what I'm about to move into. That is the time of prayer. And this is what we find in Psalm 72. It is a prayer for a young man who is about to become king, and we all know Solomon's story. Now, three requests I want to point out here in this prayer that Solomon prayed, or that is prayed for Solomon. The first one is that God would grant the king justice and righteousness. Justice and righteousness is what Solomon desired. You heard it over in the prayer in 1 Kings. You heard it here again. You see, justice and righteousness are characteristics of God. And that characteristic of justice and righteousness should be present in any king, in any ruler of any people. A leader of any people should have that same characteristic. Romans 13:1 states that there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God, meaning that all rulers that rule in this land, past, present, and future, are put in place by God. His direct will, His allowance, He has instituted all of these. And they are put in place to represent God's justice and righteous character to the people. Our leaders today would do well to remember this. We see it here in Solomon, praying that in him the people would see God's justice and that they would see in him God's righteousness. That's what we desire in our leaders. Second request is that God would prosper the king and extend his reign over the whole world, and that nations would come and serve him. Now, this may sound a little egotistical. It may sound like Solomon wants to be one of those world superpowers, and everybody recognizes and acknowledges him as this powerful one. And he came very close. But remember, he sees himself representing God to the people. He represents God's justice and righteousness to the world. So he wants that to be seen throughout the world, throughout the land. This is no egotistical position. He understands who he is. He understands that he is to portray God's character and his righteousness to the people. And so he prayed for that. The third request is that the king would have long life. And this would allow him to consolidate his kingdom. And again, God's justice and righteousness would be seen for an extended period of time. This would be the great blessing to those under his care. We read in Psalm 72, verse 15 and following, long may he live, may gold of Sheba be given to him, may prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be abundance of grain in the land on the tops of the mountains. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him. You see, if the king is blessed and he conducts himself in a proper way, then the people are also blessed. So he prays, Lord, give me long life so that the blessings that you have brought upon me, I can bestow upon the people. That's what we desire in a king. That's what Solomon prays for. And then the psalmist breaks out into doxology, much like we did as we sang just a few moments ago. Doxology being a praise of God, for he knows all of this comes from God. See, this is where the wisdom of Solomon really comes into play. He understood that he was put in place by God to represent God to the people, and that anything done or accomplished was God's work, doing it through him. It is God who is to be praised for any success the king finds. It is God who is to be praised that any leader, ruler, president finds. Never lose sight that it is God who has put you in place. It is God who is to be praised for any success a ruler or a leader would find. And oh, that Solomon would have fulfilled the request of this prayer. You see, Solomon did not finish well. There's a saying, and I'm sure you've heard it, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And Solomon fell prey to his absolute power. Let me read you a portion again from 1 Kings. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidon, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with any of them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives, who were princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not wholly follow the Lord, as David his father had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites, on the mountain east of Jerusalem. And so he did all his foreign wives, who made offerings and sacrificed to their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he did not keep what the Lord commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, since this has been your practice, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes that I have commanded you, I will surely tear this kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. You see, Psalm 72 was not fulfilled in Solomon's time. Solomon did not fulfill the prayer he uttered here, nor would it be answered in the life of any other king that would follow Solomon. And it wasn't too long that Israel was actually divided into two different nations. And then it wasn't too many years after that, a good many years after that, that Israel was taken into captivity. So the fulfillment of this prayer points to the coming of another. Solomon was praying for himself, but it would be fulfilled in another. Another that can fill the earth with God's justice and righteousness. Another that would come that can and will defend the cause of the poor and the needy, will crush the oppressor, will have dominion from sea to sea and to the ends of the earth, and all nations will in the end come and serve him. You see, this psalm is pointing to the Messiah. As we are in the series of messianic psalms, this prayer was fulfilled and will be fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, in him, we see the fulfillment of the three components that Solomon prayed for. He prayed for righteousness and justice to be present. He prayed for his reign to be extended over all the earth. He prayed that God would extend his life and give him long life. Each of these we see, or will see, fulfilled in Jesus Christ in his first and second coming. You see, it's in Jesus Christ that possesses the justice and righteousness of God. In his first coming as God incarnate, he said to the crowd, whoever has seen me has seen the Father, meaning the justice and righteousness that is God the Father himself, it is also in Jesus Christ. And just as Solomon prayed that the king would defend the cause of the poor and needy, we see this in Jesus Christ. In Matthew 11, he said, may the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. We see this repeated many times in the New Testament, how Jesus Christ reached out for the orphan, to the widow, to the downtrodden, to the broken. This justice and righteousness was fulfilled in the needy. we're cared for. Also in Jesus Christ, we will see a reign that will extend over the whole earth. In Romans 14, I read, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to God." Here at the end of the psalm, it says, "May the people be blessed and all the nations call him blessed," meaning they will come and they will acknowledge and honor him. In the second coming of Jesus Christ, we will see every nation bow to the King. The one issue is, it'll be too late for many. Revelation 5, for those of us who will honor the King on that great day, we read in Revelation 5, "And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you were ransomed people for God in every tribe and language and people and nation." It'll be a great day when we see the nations bow to the great King that Psalm 72 is pointing to. And finally, Solomon prayed for a long life. Solomon, being mortal, has his days on earth numbered. But in Jesus Christ, we see the eternal King. We see this prayer actually fulfilled in the second coming of Jesus Christ, when he will gather up the church and we will be blessed in his rule. Psalm 72 ultimately points to Jesus Christ, and it will be completely fulfilled in his second coming. Read to you a very familiar passage, Revelation 21. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write down these words, for these are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment." You see, in the second coming of which John writes here, we see the complete and total fulfillment of Psalm 72. The great King, the reign of a righteous King. It wasn't Solomon, it wasn't David, nor was it any that would follow him. This psalm simply points to Jesus Christ in a most profound way. So we, understanding, acknowledging the reign of this royal King, should break out into great praise as the psalmist did. Again, the doxology, the great praise of God, and Psalm 72:18, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory." Amen and amen. Let us pray together. Father, this is a glorious psalm pointing to your first coming, more particularly pointed to your second coming. And we, like the psalmist, break out into praise at this wondrous event that we have yet in our future. And may it be so, Lord. May it be so even today. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.